Thank you so much to Alan. I do encourage you to consider that. And that call to engage in mission is a call that is very much for us as God's church at this time. Just very briefly this morning, I want to talk about four priorities for us as God's people here in this place. One or two of these are reinforcing things that I've already said to a number of you, but there are one or two fresh things as well. Four things that I think God has for us over these next few months. We're thinking about discipleship in our regular series here at Headingley Sunday morning, and there are four things that relate especially to discipleship. And the first thing that I want to encourage you to do is to take a stand. Okay, take a stand. We see in these early chapters of Acts the disciples courageously and joyfully taking a stand for Jesus in difficult days. They're under pressure. There is persecution that is beginning against the disciples. That is little surprise because Jesus was persecuted and killed, and now it's happening to his followers as well. But again and again, they take a stand. Whether it's Peter and John before the Sanhedrin, whether it's all the believers coming together to pray and praying for boldness and strength, they are taking a stand for God in difficult days. And we recognize as God's people that we live in challenging times and that people we engage with in our communities are often far from God. But we can take encouragement from these biblical examples to take a stand ourselves and to see what God will do through us. If you're a student and you're coming away to university and you're a Christian believer, I want to encourage you with all my heart to take a stand for God, to nail your colours to the mast and to really engage in the adventure of discipleship that is the Christian faith. God calls us to take a stand. How do we do that? Well, we can see the secrets of the early disciples. Some verses that we didn't read from Acts chapter 4 and verses 12 to 13. And these are wonderful verses for us. And so, Peter is speaking, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we may be saved. Incredibly bold, incredibly courageous in the situation that they're in before these people who essentially have the power of life and death over them. How do they do this? How do they take this stand? Verse 13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. That's the point, that these men who are unschooled are courageous because they have been with Jesus. There's always a danger when we talk about discipleship and we talk about taking a stand, that we talk about ourselves more than we talk about Jesus. We talk about the followers more than the one that we are following. But we are called to focus on Jesus. We're called to fix our eyes on him. We are called to take a stand, but we're called first of all to be with Jesus. That's the secret. That's where the power comes from, the power of being with Jesus. And I encourage you, as I encourage myself, to spend much time with Jesus over the days that lie ahead. The first thing for us, to take a stand. The second thing, to draw a circle. Acts 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves. These believers were all in. They were completely committed. Some of you have heard me tell this story before about the 19th century evangelist Gypsy Smith, who, when he was asked about the secret of revival, said, "Get on your knees and draw a chalk circle around yourself and then pray to God. Revive everything within that circle. That's the secret, he says. Revival starts with us. And so, again, I encourage myself as much as I encourage you. Draw a circle. Pray to God. Revive me, O Lord. Perhaps there's something that we recognize that we're holding back from God. Some area of our thought life. It might be our finances. It might be that we're something, it might be something that we're putting between us and God. God wants to revive it all. God wants us to have undivided hearts that are fixed on Him. And so take a stand and draw a circle. The third thing, say a prayer. In fact, say lots of prayers. I was so challenged last week by Mark 9 and verse 29 and the phrase of Jesus, only by prayer. If God is going to turn us inside out as a church, it's going to be only by prayer. If God is going to deal with the practical things that we need to face up to as God's people here, only by prayer. If God is going to melt hard hearts, if God is going to touch the lives of our friends, it's only by prayer. It's not so much that we believe in the power of prayer, we believe in a prayer answering God. He doesn't need us to pray, but He chooses to use our prayers. And again we see that in the scriptures. Acts chapter 2, again, they devoted themselves to prayer. And Acts chapter 4, verse 31, after they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's going to give the people who are in charge of the building some issues, but it's still a tremendous thing when God comes and does it. And they were all filled with boldness, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke the word of God boldly after they prayed. Jesus says only by prayer, and Acts chapter 4 says after they prayed. If God is calling us to do anything as His people, He is calling us to prayer. And next week we'll announce more details of the prayer week, the week commencing October the 8th. We're going to have 24/7 prayer as part of that, where the building will be open right throughout the day and the night. Myself and a couple of members of the ministry team, we've committed ourselves to the twilight hours and the night hours. The last time I was engaged in a night of prayer, I fell asleep, and so I need some help. It would be wonderful to have people here who were praying. Obviously, a number of you who are working are not going to be here at 3 a.m., and that's fine. But there will be many other opportunities for prayer right across our congregations. Who knows what God is going to do in answer to our prayers? Because He is the God who does more than we ask or imagine or think. He really is a prayer-answering God. So many of you know this in your own lives. I know it in my life. And so what more encouragement do we need to come to God in prayer? Take a stand. Draw a circle. Say a prayer. And then take a step. What we need to do is step out in faith. And over again in these early chapters of Acts, we see men and women who are doing that. And I've just put a couple of examples up on the screen. At the end of Acts chapter 2, Peter is finishing speaking, and he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." That's the challenge. And then how did they respond? What step did they take? Those who accepted His message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. Perhaps that's the step that God is calling you to take. Perhaps you've never received Jesus as Lord and as Savior. Take that step. Come to Him and receive forgiveness and new life as you turn to Him. Be baptized as a believer. Maybe those are steps that God is calling you to take today. If you've already taken that step, I encourage you to go deeper with God, deeper in prayer, deeper in speaking out the word of God. As God comes to us in prayer, He uses us as the answer to our prayers, and He sends us out to speak and to share. It's a wonderful privilege to be involved in that work. One of the things that I want to encourage people to reflect on repeatedly over these next few weeks: what step is God calling you to take specifically? And it's important to be specific. Maybe it is first-time commitment. Maybe it is coming back to God. Maybe it is reinforcing that ministry that you're involved in. Maybe God is leading you to a new ministry here as part of this church. Maybe God is calling you to be more intentional in the workplace about living for God. All sorts of steps that we can take. I believe He wants to take us on a journey as a church and as individual disciples. What step is God calling me to take? What step is He calling you to take? Take a stand, draw a circle, say a prayer, and take a step. Let's pause together and just have a moment of quiet. And then I will lead in prayer, just reflecting some of the things that Alan has said as well. But these four priorities for us as a church.